guys, welcome back to another episode here of the Water from the Rock podcast. With me, as always, Tonto to my Lone Ranger. Well, actually, more the other way around. But as always, is Pastor Tim Robbins.
How do y'all?
How's it going, Pastor?
Good. How about you?
Sounds like we're calling you Pastor.
It is, yeah.
It's a little strange.
Yeah, you can call me Dad.
Fair enough. Anyway, as you might be seeing this on YouTube, well, you won't be seeing this on YouTube, you'll be seeing a thumbnail. Sorry for taking the camera down. We're going to put it back up here real soon, but we're having a couple issues. We're just trying to fix everything, and we're going back to the Stone Age of just audio for a week or two, maybe three, not sure. But we're going to get back to it eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just a process, learning it all and being able to you know, you guys got to, you're growing and learning in it just like I am. So, I mean, you know, as a kid growing up, we had a radio station, you know.
And exactly. So. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we had three microphones that were working out of our eight microphones, and that's not good.
Yeah. So, and I think our sound has always been spiritually challenged around here. The enemy, I remember a preacher used to always say that the devil gets in sound systems just as much as he gets in deacons. Anyway, though, but yeah, sound systems are always, the devil loves to try to mess those things up, because when you can't hear something, you just shut it off, you know.
So. Mm-hmm. And whenever we have that problem, we're also having problems with our recording.
Yeah.
And so then we can't redistribute that on the website or on YouTube or anywhere. So
in our live feed or whatever we call it. Mm-hmm.
Live streaming.
Live streaming, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's...
been having trouble with that.
That's a whole different animal. Mm. It's like learning how to hunt mice and then learn how to hunt deer, and now you're taking on a dragon.
I bet.
It's a whole different ball of wax. Something I just do not know what I'm doing.
I'm sure with that. So.
And I got somebody else trying to take it over for me, Levi. If you guys remember, back in the day, we used to have Levi on here with us, and maybe we'll bring him back on here real soon, just his scheduling's a little weird. Mm-hmm. anyway, I have him kind of starting to take over the live stream, and so trying to wrestle the issues out of that, try to just be as professional as possible. But hopefully you guys are downloaded the app, Water from the Rock app on Apple Podcasts, or not Apple Podcasts, Apple iTunes Store. I don't call it the Apple Store. I don't even know. But
yeah, as far as you know, Google Play, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah, I'm not sure if it's Apple iPod, iTunes. I don't even remember. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
And no, hopefully you downloaded our app there. Hopefully the messages are being helpful for you. I know that for me, what I do is a lot of times I'll listen to them while I'm driving. I just open the app up and I'll put a message on while I'm driving, kind of listening to a podcast. Since I count that as my Bible reading for the day.
I think you did a really good job designing that, and it looks really good.
Thank you.
So I'm really impressed with it. So
not gonna lie, most of that was what they had given me to work with. But
praise the Lord. So
anyway, kind of getting down to the brass tacks here. You and me were talking in your office. Kind of lift the curtain here for you guys that are listening. We have kind of production meetings where we go over different things we want to talk about, things we're going to address, where we go through like where the app is sitting, how we're recording, things that were going on with our sound system, our live stream, stuff like that. So we get together, we talk about all these things and what we're wanting to do, and projections, as well as, you know, like I said, production meetings, things we want to talk about, things we want to cover. And so we were sitting down and we were talking about that this morning, going into the afternoon, and we have a couple different topics we're going to cover here over the next few weeks. But you and me were talking about kind of this verse that you'd preached out of for Bible.
Yeah, in Bible class, yeah.
Yeah, Bible class. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And you and me started having a really good conversation about it. And I said, stop, let's just cover this on the podcast. Let's just talk about it. Because you're really speaking a lot of things there that I think are really important. First off, what I want to ask you is the Bible says, be worthy that you be, I can't say it, beseech you.
That you walk worthy.
That you walk worthy of vocation wherewith you're called. What's a vocation? Like, what does it mean to walk worthy of that?
Right. That's a good question, actually. Excuse me. And, you know, Paul wouldn't say that he's a prisoner of the Lord. And when it means prisoner, that it means that, like, you know, I got to go to church or I got to do this. It means that he had been arrested. He was serving in a prison, basically, waiting to go stand before Caesar. And so he identifies that, you know what, the Lord has allowed me to be a prisoner for him. It wasn't a curse. It wasn't, you know, it was a privilege to be able to be in this place. And sometimes people, especially when we make our own doings, we tend to go, oh, this is a curse. It's a bad thing. But Paul didn't see it that way. But he says he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he had experienced some of the most powerful things Paul had ever seen in life or experienced or did in life happened at Ephesus. It was amazing. I mean, he did some really amazing things there. At the point of, you know, people would be sick and they would come and he would touch a towel or a napkin or something, take it back, touch the person, and be healed.
Really?
Yeah, just some amazing things, you know, taking place while he's at Ephesus. And those people, they loved him. It was very, by far, a very mature church, probably one of the most powerful churches at that time period. And anyway, well, now he's arrested, and so he's writing a letter to them, and he tells them, he says, listen, he says, he beseeches them, he's begging them, he's pleading with them, he's earnestly. He says that you walk worthy of the vocation. And you and I were talking about this, and the word vocation is it's translated, the word is klesis, and it's translated 10 times calling and one time vocation. Now, if you ask the average person today what a vocation is, they're all going to tell you, oh, it's my career.
Job.
It's the field that I work in, yeah. You know. Like if you're in the medical field, you're in the medical, you know, your vocation is medical, or, you know, or whatever it may be. And, you know, if you're a construction guy, it's, you know, yeah, that's your vocation, or you're a factory guy, you know. And, but really the word calling in the scripture, and in this particular passage especially, this word klesis, it literally means, or I think it's pronounced klesis, to be honest with you, but it literally means to be an invitation. So here's how God kind of works is God then, he invites you to do something with your life for him. Now, you could say no to that invitation, and then thus you live your life kind of wasting your life because you don't do anything for God, even though you might go to church every Sunday and you might teach a Sunday school class, but you didn't follow the invitation that he gave you. And so it's very important that we follow that invitation. For me, I was invited to come and work in the ministry, to be full-time in the ministry, mm-hmm. to preach his gospel and to do that. But this invitation, it's not necessarily, you know, a factory worker, a doctor, or a, you know, a construction guy, or a, you know, a business manager at the Walmart store, or whatever. That's not really your invitation. Your invitation is to do something for him. And then along the way, he provides something to pay the bills and that kind of stuff. So you're called to be a mom. You're called to be a dad. You're called to be a teacher. Or you're called to be whatever it may be for the glory of God, to proclaim his truth, to be a tool in his hand. Okay?
Okay.
So when God does that, when he invites you, if you say yes to that, then he begins to kind of invite you into, like, say, a room or a house. And I kind of, to me, I picture it kind of like a house, you know, like a house with a bunch of rooms in it. And now you're going to go through, and he's going to start taking you down a journey to make you worthy of that. Now, when it says walk worthy there, most of us think that when it says to walk worthy, we would think, you know, we got to be more morally upright. You know, I can't live in sin anymore. I got to get rid of my drugs or my alcohol. And that's probably right. I mean, the word worthy is, it's the word axis, and means literally to, like, be of the godly sort. That's what it literally means, to be like of a godly sort. Excuse me. Now, what I think that most people, they get caught up in that, and that's all they think. Well, in reality, I think there's just a whole lot more to it than that. And the way that I see it is this, is the way that whenever he's saying walking worthy, it means to be basically more so not just in talent, but to be more like him. Now, I know that it's hard to be like him whenever you're strung out on drugs or alcohol. I know it's more to be hard to be like him whenever you're full of anger and resentment. I get that. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the processes of freedom of that are a little bit different than I think what people kind of think normally. But nevertheless, though, he's invited you. So for, like, example with you, you've been invited to do something for him. If you say yes, now you're on this journey of kind of going room to room to room to room to learning about him. And I'll explain more. Go ahead and ask your question.
I was just going to say, so you think that the normal mentality that people use, the normal path that they assume, it would be something more along the lines of, I have to be cleaned up before I go forward. I have to.
Yeah, I would think that is definitely an issue. I think a lot of people, they think that they can't go to church until they get some things right in their life, and that's just it. That's what the church is there for, you know, is to be a light in the darkness that they're in. You know, so who better to shine the light of truth into the darkness that they're in and get them out of than God's people himself, or, you know, God himself, God through his people. And because they're in the darkness and trying to figure out how to get out of it, and I got to get out before I go in there, I shouldn't bring darkness in the church. But you don't bring darkness in the light. Darkness disappears when light, you know, where light's mm-hmm. at. And so that's not how it works.
It's like saying, you know, I can't wash my hands in the sink till my hands are clean first.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the purpose of the sink, and
mm-hmm.
or one of the many. And
yeah.
But now, as far as the way the Lord works here, when he's talking about being of the godly sort, I like, for example, I use Sissy, or my daughter. She plays piano in the church. All right, much better. I don't know why that keeps doing that. It's just weird.
Me either.
But anyway, though, picking back up here. My daughter, she's invited to play music, and when she was, you know, 11, 12, 13, she played in church. She could play a few songs. But now, you know, much older, she is a way different piano player. And so what happened is she would learn things. She would pick up things. She'd practice things. She would, you know, some things were hard. She kept trying and whatever. I mean, she eventually got them down. What God does is this, is he invites you in, and it's kind of like you're going room to room. You're learning different things, and you become each time he gives you grace, and you learn about him. You learn about who he is and how he works. And so the way that I kind of illustrated in my class the other day, and as I illustrated with you earlier, is this is you get somebody that meets somebody for a relationship, and they're going to get married. You know, like, for example, whenever you and Ashley met, mm-hmm. you knew a few things about Ashley. You knew probably kind of the way she would think or work, or, you know, what maybe would be on her mind just from spending a little bit of time with her. But then after you're married for 5 or 10 or 15 years, after you're married for 30 years, you really get to know your significant other, you know?
That's true.
You really get to know, to the point where you will think like they think and feel like they feel anytime a circumstance raises up. You're going to know exactly what they're going to think. You're going to know exactly how they're going to feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where you could even, you could quote them. You would be able to finish their sentences. They would say, well, I'll tell you what my husband's going to say, you know. Well, I'll tell you the way my wife's going to look at that. She ain't going to be happy, you know, or he's going to be fit to be tied, as my mom used to say, you know, or whatever. So they're going to say things like that, and because they know, because they've spent enough time with them. So what God does when it says of a godly sort here, it isn't just, you know, about trying to make you morally upright and getting rid of the sins in your life. What it means is this, is he wants to draw you to a place where you're closer and closer to him, to where you're so close to him that you think like he thinks and you feel like he feels every time a circumstance rises up, to the point where you could just pretty much quote him word for word.
Mm-hmm.
And without, you know, even missing a beat. And so that's what it means to be of a godly sort. And so when he's saying walk worthy, not just to be honorable and be responsible with what you got, but to be somebody who is of a godly sort, somebody who thinks like God thinks and acts like God would act and lives like God would live. Now, as God does that, and that takes time, by the way. It's not something you just do. You know, married people, you don't meet somebody and you know everything there is to know about them. You think exactly like they think, you know, 3 days into a relationship. And instead, it goes on for weeks, months, and years. And in the process of that, you really get to know them. And the more that you're around them, the more you learn things about them, and especially certain circumstances and stuff. And so God does the same for us.
So let me ask you this. So you said that God likes to try to shape you. And as you say yes to the vocation, as you say yes to this opportunity, this task, for me, it's, you know, like, say, you know, I'm ordained, so for me, it's being in the ministry. For other people, mm-hmm. it's being a husband, being a wife, being a father, being a mother, being a Sunday school teacher, things like that, serving the Lord in whatever capacity it is, whether it be layman or full-time Christian service. How do you go down that path? Like, you said that God begins to take you down that path. What's that path like?
Yeah, actually, I'll be honest with you, I think everybody's calling is this. I think it's to be a certain reflection or a certain image of the identity of God.
Hmm. So it's kind of like how you have a special relationship with God where it's just you and him.
Yeah.
In that way?
You're not a preacher or a dad or a mom or anything like that. You're actually supposed
to be. I'm
definitely
not a mom.
Yeah. I'm not confused on my gender. And you're not called to be a preacher or a mom or a dad or whatever, as you're called to be a replica of an attribute or something of the image of God.
Hmm.
And so he invites you to do that. Now, in the process of that, he then invites you into be into the ministry or to be a parent or to work in a Sunday school class or whatever, work in children's ministries or bus ministry or something. You know, now that there, what that's going to do is that's going to be the school in which he teaches you to be more like him. Being a pastor has taught me more about being more like God than I've ever could have learned in any other way. And in the process, though, it also gives me an opportunity to be a reflection of him so that I can be a tool in his hand to help others. So when people ask me who I am as a, you know, what do I do for a living or whatever, what I do for a living and who I am are two different things, even though I'm a preacher, mm-hmm. even though I'm a pastor. I'm just a born-again believer. I'm a Christian. I believe God. And in the process of that, though, I serve him by being a preacher. You know, you're going to serve him that way. Somebody else may serve him, you know, being whatever else in the church, doing something for the glory of God. Yeah, doing something for the glory of God, though they may work as a construction worker or, you know, a medical field or something of that nature. Okay. Now, as he does that, as he invites you, like, for example, like we said, since he was playing music, he invites you into these doors, and the further you go in life, the more the kind of these doors you go through. Paul said an effectual door is set before him, you know, an open door, a continuously open door there set before him. So he's saying is every time God opens the door for him to go further and advance God's cause and do God's work, he's also learning more about God and having experiences of God where he's becoming more like him. You know, and that's really what the purposes are. God uses kind of, shall I say, my mom used to always say, kills two birds, one stone, you know. So yeah. I don't know if you're going to say that when you're talking about the Lord, but you know, he knocked out a couple of purposes with one purpose, with one work. And
thank God for it.
Yeah. So yeah, to be honest with you, I mean, if somebody says, well, I was just made to be a preacher. I was made to be a Sunday school teacher. I was made to be a wife or a husband or whatever. Yeah, you're actually, I mean, I get what you're saying, but the invitation is to be like him, the calling. And you get to be a reflection of him that somebody else won't get to be a reflection of, and he invites you to do that. Do you want to come and be this part of me, you know, this picture of me to other people? And you'll be a part of who I am, be an extension of who I am. In the process, then, he begins to help you think like he thinks, and you know, really, to be honest with you, feel how he feels. And then as you do that, you start maturing in him. And then he just, like I said, he takes you through circumstances and events and open doors and things like that to have those experiences with him. And thus you become more of a godly sort. To the point where people will start to immediately identify you. Oh, you're a preacher. Like, for example, you know, if you feel with your fingers, it feels different than if you felt with your knee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I walked to you and say, here, take your hands and rub it across somebody's face and tell me what that feels like versus take your knee and rub it across somebody's face. It feels incredibly different because your fingers have different feelings in them. So, for example, if God says, I'm going to make you my finger, and so then you start becoming that, eventually you're going to start taking shape because you think like he thinks, you look like he looks, you act like he acts, you feel like he feels, that people are going to start saying, oh, you're a finger. Well, actually, I'm a reflection of God's finger, mm-hmm. you know. But they're going to go, oh, you're a preacher. Actually, I'm just a reflection of him. I'm just his messenger, you know.
Sure.
And so that's the way it is. And somebody else may is a knee, and somebody else may be, you know, the hair or whatever it may be. And you know as well as I do, your hair doesn't really feel things, but you can feel things in your hair, you know. And
yeah.
And you don't rub your hair against somebody and go, oh, I can feel, you know, the shape of your nose, you know. You know what I mean? And so, like you would with your, you know, with your fingers or something. So, it's the way God designed you, and it's all to be a reflection of Him. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, kind of circling back around here, I do have a question though. Whenever you're in those times, whenever you're trying to, like, just to be transparent and be honest, whenever I first had Evan, my oldest.
Uh-huh.
Going through that, it was very difficult because it was like a learning curve. It was difficult for me because it was a new pathway.
Right.
Whenever I was ordained, when I took on the call to serve the Lord, and I was ordained, that took me down a different path that was very difficult. When I first got married, the first they say there's the honeymoon phase of the first year supposed to be the best year.
Yeah.
That was by far my worst year of marriage. And my wife will tell you that. She feels the same way. She hated me. no, but it was just, it's that.
Sometimes it just never changes.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's just, those things are really difficult early on mm-hmm. because it's the adjustment. It's going to something new.
It is.
Did you ever experience that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess, are you talking about marriage or in life or
just,
I was saying marriage? Yeah. I think our first year of marriage was pretty rough. We had just got married and Dustin was a baby. And,
did you saw all the adjustments early on?
We had moved to Lincoln, Illinois, way up. We thought we were so far north. It was unreal. I mean, we were like, oh my gosh, you probably see the U.S. border from here.
You know, U.S.-Canada border. Just,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Then, but the reality is, and then we were in northern Iowa, and it's like, you can almost feel the U.S. border from here. But, mm-hmm. anyway, it's just, it's a difference. But yeah, we did. We fought a lot, and, we had a lot of, you know, she had a lot of problems she had to work out. I was pretty straight, you know, but
humble the whole way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, I was much more mature, you know. And
I just actually meant just like overall, like, did you find that whenever you went to go in the ministry, when you started answering the vocations, the opportunities of God, was it hard?
I think so. I think at least for me, I mean, there's probably a principle there that I really thought about, but you know, what's the scripture say that the end of the thing is better than the beginning of the thing or something like that? But I can't remember. But
me either, but I know Google does.
But anyway, though, and the thing of it is I know whenever I first went into the ministry, I felt like God was calling me to preach. My heart was just burning all the time, and I just wanted to preach and proclaim His truth and stuff. And finally got to preach my first sermon in my mom's church there in First Baptist, and Brother Ray Ditch, and what a great guy. I'm telling you.
I remember him.
Great guy. And anyway, and let me preach my first sermon, and he'd say, now, Brother Tim, he'd say, and you just get up there, and you just let it fly. And,
I remember him.
Had 7 pages of handwritten notes out, and was done in 10 minutes. And so it was
nice. I do the same thing. That's why I don't preach with notes.
Yeah, exactly. But, but anyway, though, and then, you know, I remember we moved to Iowa, and I just remember being, you know, I preached a little bit here and there and things like that, and just remember my heart burning. And then I remember it just started kind of get to be grueling, and I was kind of losing my zeal for it. And I remember thinking, you know, I didn't want to lose the zeal for it because, I mean, it was a passion in me. And then the opportunity came to go on staff, and I remember my first day I go on staff was March the 1st, 1995. There in Fort Dodge and at Harvest Baptist, and I remember being on staff, and that weekend we were taking our teenagers to Omaha for our youth rally, and I was a youth pastor, and we had a big snowstorm, and we had a bus that didn't work or spit, and we had trouble. It took us like 8 hours to get there. It takes normally about 4 hours from there. It took us about 8 or 9 hours to get there, and then we were in the bowling parking lot till about midnight. Bowling, and we came out, and then we couldn't get our bus going. And we're sitting in the middle of downtown, rough part of Omaha, church bus, March the 1st, you know, so you know how cold it was.
Mm-hmm.
Bus won't start, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're trying to get our bus figured out, and they were messing with it. Finally, we get in, I think we get our bus going about 1:30, you get in, go to sleep, have to be up the next morning at 7 o'clock, and all those problems and stuff like that. And then we had a big snowstorm coming, so we left early. And it took us almost 8 hours to drive home. We left out about 11 o'clock, got home like 10 o'clock that night, it felt like, or so whatever. I don't remember, it was maybe 1 o'clock we left or whatever, and got home at 10. And we drove through snow, and my pastor's wife was with us, and she kind of sat behind me, kind of, I don't want to run down my pastor's wife here, but Miss Alice, if you're listening, please don't listen to the next part, but she backseat drove the whole way pretty much. And, you know, which again, you know, she's almost 40 years old. She's been her husband's youth pastor for 20 of those years and almost. And this is this brand new guy who's 24 years old. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was going to turn 25 that year. So we had nothing but problems. And then that Sunday night, kind of, you could almost hear the background music of The Wizard of Oz, when the witch was coming, you know, and da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. Had two women make a beeline for me. They were upset with how their daughters were treated at the youth rally, and they grilled me for about the next 2 hours after church that night. And I remember walking out, and I remember Brother Martin looking at me and goes, "Man, you've had a rough weekend." He goes, "What a start to your being full time." He goes, I said, "Yeah." I said, "Something else." And he goes, "Well, welcome to the ministry." and it's that first not few years were really rough, really rough times. So,
by the way, the verse you were talking about earlier is Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit."
Amen. That's good.
Yeah, well, that's convicting.
No kidding.
And, yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that. And I know that sometimes it can be grueling over time of being in the ministry and just, you know, the ins and outs of it. And, like, even just use a terrible example, but, like, even our sound system and, like, our cameras set up and stuff like that, as they're trying to learn and grow, it is grueling, for a better term.
You know, as a child, there's a lot more things you go through, a lot more, you know, you get a whole lot more whoopings as a baby than, or as a kid than you did, you know, as an adult, really, you know, and it just, it's a lot, there's a lot less, I don't know, a lot less freedom as a child versus as an adult, but at the same time, I mean, it's just, it's a process, and, you know, a child has to grow and learn and develop and to become an adult, you know, and I remember those days of school and all, how I hated school, never thinking I'll never get done with school, and now, here I am kind of turning the last pages of life, you know, and I'm thinking school's never going to get done.
I know.
And so, you know, it's just like, good night. And
it seems like the days are just going by so much faster.
Yeah. And it's the old saying, you know, the older you get, the faster they go. And it's so true. You know, it's like, I'm used to be, you turned around, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe a year passed. Now I turn around, it's like, where'd that decade go? You know, and, like, I don't even remember being 40s. Was I ever 40s? In my 40s, you know, and
like, right, let's 30s, wrap this up,
that, you know. Yeah. So
let's wrap this up. I have to have an existential crisis, and no, I just, as time goes by, it just
it does.
It just seems like it just we're just celebrating New Year's now. It's April.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, here we are. So anyway,
and I hate it. I hate feeling like I'm not seeing my babies grow up. I hate feeling that way. You know, as fast time goes by, and
it does, and I felt the same way, and now they're all married, and it's just like...
Yeah, but we're a lot more fun now.
Yeah, you guys are. It's early on, oh my gosh, I mean, lots of meltdowns and lots of... I mean, there was lots of drama, and now it's a lot more enjoyable.
Then you ended up just kind of getting over it, right?
It's just a lot more enjoyable, you know, enjoyable, so...
Well, I don't mean to end on a bad note there, but no, I just think about how fast time goes by, and you know, I just want to make sure I use my time for the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely, so...
Anyway, I hope today has been a blessing to you guys. Thank you, Pastor, for coming in and sharing this with us. And it just was a good day. I enjoyed talking about this. So,
amen.
Anyway, no thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully it's been a blessing to you. Plug all the things like we normally do. Get our app. And you find all of our messages on there. I even put a thing on there for the music that we've recorded. We have my brother Noah's wife, actually. She recorded her own original music. And she doesn't know what, or maybe she does know. I don't know, but I put her music on the app. And, yeah, listen to it before she catches me and I have to take it down. So
is it on the app? Yes, what you call the Short Legs Mafia or what?
They call it Short Legs Serenades.
Okay.
Yeah.
That cracked me up. So
she didn't name it, and I had to come up with something.
Yeah, exactly. So and, if you know anything about Noah's wife, she's a pretty short girl. She's probably, what, 4'10"?
4'9", I think.
4'9", so we call her Short Legs. And, and then my daughter, she's only like 5'1" or whatever. And so when they sing together, Tyler always called them the Short Legs Mafia.
Yeah. Well, it's just easier to write down the schedule.
Yeah, exactly. So that's for sure.
Anyway, get on there, get that app, get it downloaded, listen to all the stuff. You can also listen to our podcast either via Spotify. I'm actually on like 15 of the 18 major podcasting platforms now. You know, just keep going. Doesn't matter. Even if we get one listener from that one, I want to make sure that they're able to get that opportunity to listen. But
amen.
Anyway, just go through, listen to them. You can get our podcast on there. You can get our YouTube channel on there. You can get all the messages that are preached. They're all uploaded. You listen to them all on the app, so get the app. Otherwise, go to our website, bytheblood.org. You can contact us through the app. You can contact us via the website. If you need our snail mail address for any reasons, 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa. That's where you can send your donations of fried chicken.
50616.
Yep. That's right. Just have it, just contact us ahead of time so that way you know that we're in the building for the fried chicken.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah, my dad prefers wings. I prefer, you know, any kind of white meat. So
I like it. So
I don't mind chicken legs, though. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. I'm hungry. So let's wrap it up. Remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.